Today on Visual Studio Toolbox, we're going to continue our look at the future of Visual Studio, and this time we're going to look at team productivity.
Go team!
Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me are Amanda Silver.
Hi.
Anthony Cangelosi.
Hello.
And Kendra Havens.
Hi.
And we are back for part two of our two, possibly more, episode series on the future of Visual Studio. So previously on Visual Studio Toolbox, we covered personal productivity and cloud productivity.
Yep.
And today we're going to do team productivity.
That's right, yeah.
Excellent.
So team productivity is...
Thanks, sorry.
Go team. Team productivity is super important. I mean, everything that a developer does is generally working with somebody else in that same project. So I think what we've really been focusing on is how can we make collaboration when you're debugging something or when you want to get a code review really, really, really as focused as it can be so that your team is much faster in terms of the time to market that they're trying to achieve.
Cool.
So we have a couple of different demos that we wanted to show you guys. But I think what we wanted to start with is just like a reorientation back to what we talked about last time. So Anthony, take it away.
So I think last time we were talking about how annoying it is when you have a bug that you can't reproduce locally, but of course our customers are finding it in production. And we were just showing a demo of time travel debugging, and because it's so cool, I kind of want to show it again. Should
Absolutely.
We jump into the demo? Okay,
go for
cool.
It.
So this.
And then just to remind everybody, we are using previews of upcoming versions.
Right. Okay. That's right.
Yeah. So you know. There's no smoke and mirrors. This is we'll see what we get, and we'll see which demos work and which ones don't. So this is the Smart Hotels app that we've been using for the last couple of months. We've got this feature that is the best rooms, and it's trying to find the best rooms in the hotel so that you can kind of sort which rooms you might want to book in. And obviously, here I'm seeing a list of rooms, but our customers weren't seeing it in production. So what we were able to do is actually get a trace of the production environment at the time that the customer is reporting the issue. So we actually have all the execution in memory at that snippet of time. So I can actually go back and debug that and see what was happening for that customer. So let's go ahead and load that trace into Visual Studio. And I'm going to drop a little breakpoint right where the page loads for that. And then let's kick off debugging a previously recorded process. So here's the trace that was recorded of the production environment, but I'm loading it into my local dev environment here in VS. So I can, when I start that, VS will go into a normal debug mode. I can actually hit breakpoints. And what I'm seeing here as this loads up is I'm actually going to execute the code as it was running at the time that the customer went through it. So this is a break, and now I'm seeing the locals windows in the bottom with all the memory in the state at that time. I can naturally step through, as you'd expect, over different parts of this. I'm loading into all of the hotels at first. And here now you see my update of count of hotels. It's finding three hotels out of all the ones we have to look through. And then I'm going to go and call this function that should calculate for me the best hotel. So if I step over that, let's see how many it returns. OK, so here now it's showing me that in production, there's only three, or there were three hotels total. There's only one left. So now I think I'm pretty close to my bug. Now, if this was a real debug environment, you'd have to kind of stop debugging, go back, kind of reset up the whole repro to make sure you get it without having any side effects. But instead, because I'm debugging a trace, I can actually go and step backwards. So I'm actually going to step back into that last call that I made, so using this new command that we're introducing called step back into. And this is actually reversing the execution. So instead of stepping back into the top or stepping into the top of a function as you'd normally see, we're actually coming up the bottom of the function. Mm-hmm. And I'll just keep stepping back. And you see now
that
all the locals
cool.
are just unwinding.
Oh, we could go. It's still cool.
Still cool.
Yeah,
it's
something we've been working on with Microsoft Research, actually.
Yeah.
So it's not just like your standard issue cool. It's like extra special cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
It does not get old. And my favorite one is this one here, where I just kind of step back, and I want to run across back to the beginning. So I can drop a breakpoint at the beginning of this for loop. I don't have to step through all of it. And then we have a new command that is reverse continue. So, you know, continue forward across the loop. I can reverse continue back to the beginning of the loop here. And now I'm paused at the beginning. All that time rewinded. And now from here, I can slowly step forward and see what's going on in my code. Pretty cool. So
reverse
let's
continue.
Step into this loop.
I love that.
Let's see. OK, so I've got this method here that's calculating our best hotels. And this is doing our calculations. So let's start stepping through this here. And it looks like it's probably something in this comparison that's comparing between the ratings of 4 and 5 stars. So let me invite my partner into a live share. Now, I can actually do a live share in the middle of this trace debugging to have my partner take a look at what's going on and help me figure out what's happening here.
Nice.
Pretty cool. Yeah, so let's see. So we're taking demo bits on top of demo bits, combining them together, and see what kind of chewy goodness we get out of it. All right, so I've got a live share session started. And I'm going to switch over to Teams. I can paste that link for Amanda to come and take a look. All right, Amanda, do you mind taking a look at this bug that I was seeing in in production?
So now all I have to do is go ahead and click on that link that Anthony sent to me, and it's going to bring up a web page that will figure out that what I want is to load a code editor. And for me, I want to load Visual Studio 2017, so I'm just going to say yes. And then after that, it's going to actually start up Visual Studio, but not just start up Visual Studio as normal. It's actually going to start up initiated by the context of the live share session that Anthony has. Now, usually when people see demos of live share, it's like, oh, I'm doing this code, I'm doing this co-authoring, co-editing experience. But what you're going to see here is that we're actually going to join in the middle of a context of a debug session. Now, this isn't just a normal debug session. This is actually a debug session that's back in time.
Right.
So it's actually something that was caught on, you know, a production environment and a trace was captured. So I'm actually joining his session now in debug mode for something that happened in production a while ago.
Sure.
Not right now. So as you can see, as soon as it loads, I'm actually, you know, I can see his cursor where he's at. I actually am broken at the breakpoint that he has, and I have the full debug experience that you would expect. So I can, you know, expand locals and look at this and see the value of count, things like that.
So if you, you'd also be able to go forwards and backwards, right? If you had a version of Visual Studio that supported that?
Theoretically, yes. So I can go ahead and go forwards and backwards in time in terms of moving the debug cursor. We have not yet done the work to actually take those backwards buttons and the reverse continue buttons that Anthony has and make those available in my context if I'm in a time travel debug session.
That is
definitely something that we want to do.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he's got a feature Visual Studio that you don't have, but you would potentially make that available.
Well,
to him,
but the cool thing is that, like, because we have a shared debug cursor, he can basically progress the debug cursor however he wants to, including going back in time to show me what the bug is.
Yes.
So I'm going to step forward here, and we should see that all of our memory is updating, and I see that we just stepped over down to the bottom of that method, because it didn't match that comparison. I can just keep stepping through. Now from here, I'm going to step one more time, and then I'll step back. All right, and now I should be able to step back over. And now as I go back, let's see, we're going backwards. And even though she doesn't have the demo time travel debugging bit, she's still tracking
she's
my still cursor wherever it's
exactly.
going. Yeah, and the same thing with all the memory updates. You'll see all of that happening in locals window as well.
Very nice.
All the values. So what's the problem?
Okay, so we're seeing here that...
Oh, that's right.
We're out of the bugs.
No, this is just you were trying to fix. I just thought we were doing cool demos. Oh, that's great. Okay, thanks. Hey, wait a minute.
You just watch that cursor move back and forth all day long, right? So we're trying to figure out why it is that our getBestHotels method here isn't returning any hotels, and I think it has something to do with this if statement here that is comparing the hotels of 4 and 5 stars.
Okay, so basically if I look at the rating here for this particular value, so we should be able to get, and I see it's a 3, okay, but then if I look at that and I look at the rating, I actually see that it's 4.3. So if you see the code that I have here, it's actually checking if it is exactly 4 or if it's exactly 5, and that was a rating of 4.3.
Okay.
So my code has a bug here. So how should we fix it?
Well, why don't we actually fix it right here, and then we can run some unit tests and see what happens when we make sure all the tests pass. Okay, let me stop debugging. All right, well, since we're in a live share, you can actually make that change yourself and make sure
that
it's
working. I guess I'm checking to see if it's greater than 4 and also less than 5.
Yep.
All right, so let's see if that works. So now I saved it.
Yep.
Anthony should see it directly in his, in his version.
Up. I'm going to do a rebuild. And then once that's rebuilt, I'll start off a shared terminal. And from the shared terminal, we can actually run our test cases.
So as soon as he brings up the shared terminal, I actually also see that shared terminal coming up in my session.
Cool.
My hands weren't even on the keyboard. I didn't touch anything.
Yeah.
Like I just got that context because he wanted to share that with me.
This is just so cool.
Yeah. So you want me to do the
go for it,
let's just go ahead and
because everything you type, I see on my terminal
test.
As well.
Let's see. So move to tests, and then I want to just run our .NET tests like that. And we actually are going to see in real time the results of the tests for this change. So it's building. And we can see that the text execution is starting.
Yep, and if we're doing the simulcast share, we should see that both of the screens are updating all the same content.
Right,
yep.
So we see that that's successful. So now remember, like, I don't necessarily have any of the context of Anthony's code on my machine, right?
You don't have the code, you don't have the test local, you don't even necessarily have the same features he has.
Right, I might not even have the SDK dependencies he has. He could be building an Android app, and I might not have the Android SDK on my machine. So, you know, it's really cool. And the other thing is, especially when you're collaborating in a team environment, like, how many of the, you know, debug sessions, collaborative debug sessions you've had are due to developer configuration, like configuration on the dev box. This isn't just like a terminal that's specific to this project. This is actually a real terminal that has complete access to what's running on his machine.
Yes.
So I can use it to inspect environment variables or do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that comes with...
So be careful, kids.
Yeah, exactly. Be careful, kids. That definitely comes with, you know, some security. you have to be comfortable with who you're sharing it with. But it does really allow you to debug a whole bunch of issues. And we've seen, even internally, folks using it inside of Microsoft, that a lot of reports of people just talking about how helpful it has been just for the context of being able to share a terminal.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. So let's just jump to the slides real quick just to talk about live share. So what you guys saw was, so what you guys saw was that basically with Visual Studio Live Share, you can use the tools that you like that are configured for you. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm using Visual Studio, Anthony's using Visual Studio, but we could have used VS Code,
right?
And we could have had narrator settings, I could be using the dark theme, like whatever it is that makes me super productive, I get to use the tools that I'm super productive in, whereas, you know, if in screen sharing, you're really kind of like bound to the person who is sharing the screen with you, right? How annoying is it even when you call support, for example, and they want to take over your machine, and, you know, sometimes they get access to the mouse, sometimes they don't, so, and then you give them control, and then you can't really touch the screen because you have to negotiate who has control over the mouse and the keyboard, and that just happens all the time for developers. Yeah. So this really makes it possible for you to use the tools that you love that are configured for your use. You get immediate real-time collaboration. So if I type a little character, Anthony sees it pretty much immediately. We have the full context. So not only do we have just one file that I can see, but I actually have the full context of the project that he's working on.
Without having to duplicate his environment.
Right.
Which could take hours, days.
And that's super useful because for me to get my bearings to help somebody, it sometimes requires that I do a little bit of spelunking around their project to kind of understand what's going on,
versus the 4.5 minutes or whatever this took where you worked it out, found the problem.
This was definitely a streamlined demo, but like most of the time, you know, you might be talking about a problem and it's like, hey, I think it's here, but this is somebody who's asking for help. They might not really know, right? And so you might need to actually go and look at other files to figure out what's going on. And with this, you don't have to ask them to like open the Solution Explorer or open up a folder. Like you can go ahead and inspect all of that yourself. And then obviously we showed debugging together. You know, LiveShare today supports debug sessions. What we showed that has not yet been released to the world yet, but is coming, is being able to debug together in the context of a time travel debugging session. Which I think is pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Yeah. So I think we talked about all those things. So the next thing that I want to talk about is shift left. Have you ever heard of the concept of shift left?
I have, but why don't you explain it for those that have either not heard it or may think it means something different.
So basically it's the idea that like there's a lot of things that go on in the developer process that might not be part of the what we would call the developer inner loop. So basically the edit debug build cycle. Things that happen like code analysis or unit testing that might happen after you've done a build.
Right.
And maybe even asynchronously with your application as you've built it. So what we're aiming to do is to make it so that we can bring more of those processes earlier in the process as possible. That's what we mean by left, that they happen earlier in the development process so that you can find and remedy issues much, much quicker.
Right.
Much more quickly. So one of the things that we've been working on is actually bringing PR experiences directly into Visual Studio.
That would be nice.
That would be
cool.
Because
today you can start the process, but then you have to leave Visual Studio and go over
to some web portal,
the SDS or GitHub or wherever you're going. It'd be nice to have it happen inside Visual Studio.
Right, or to
make
some
that
command line
I think
or
we
something
should.
Like that. Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
So if we go back to our instance of Visual Studio where we fixed this bug earlier. So now what I want to do is basically take that code fix that I just made and apply it to a set of code that I've already been working on and then actually commit it as a PR. So I'm just going to go ahead and copy this directly from the session that Anthony and I just had been working on. And I'm going to go to my other project. This is actually my local repo of the same project that I've been working on some editor fixes for. So you can see that I have four different changes across various different files. And I'm just going to replace this line with the code fix that we just made. And you can see that it's less than four and also greater than four and also less than five. I'm going to save that. And let me just close this instance of Visual Studio. Come back to this one. And then what I'm going to do is go ahead and just look at those changes. And what you'll see is that it's going to bring me into a diff mode. Now we've had diff for a little bit in Visual Studio, but this is a new kind of what we call a ubiquitous diff experience
you've where you have go find it before.
Yeah,
it
you have the
it,
it kind of comes up automatically. Mm-hmm. You know, I can not only see it in side by side mode, but I could also see it in inline mode. So we can actually see that edit there. Mm-hmm. And it basically allows me to commit that right here. So I can just go ahead and do some style cleanup plus ratings bug. And I can go ahead and commit all and push.
Mm-hmm.
And then so it's pushing to the current branch, which is all basically happening locally,
right.
But now you can see that I have this new link here to create a pull request directly in Visual Studio. So,
nice.
Yeah, so now it kind of lets me go through all of the different changes that I have. I can go ahead and add, you know, and add Anthony there, add him. And because Kendra has been working on some of our tests for this, I want to add her as well. And then I want to go ahead and create it. Is there anything else that I missed? I don't think so. So I'm just going to go ahead
and create
it. Fewer
context switches. You're doing this all in the same place.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of the idea. So now let's go ahead and switch over to Kendra, who can review this change.
Yeah. So let's say I'm happily coding over here in my machine. And if you want to go ahead and switch to my screen. Yep, there we go.
Okay.
I'm happily coding away. And let's say I get a notification since I was added as a reviewer to Amanda's pull request. I can actually go ahead and open this pull request that I was added by, and it switches all of my context. You kind of saw the output in the window. It pulls Amanda's branch to make sure I am actually reviewing the right stuff. And now I'm getting this like pull request discussion message that I now see what PR she gave. I have a pull request comments window. If I go over to the Solution Explorer, you might have noticed this new little icon up here. This is my review filter, which I can toggle to see only the changes in this PR and all of the files that have actually changed. And I know we talked a lot about IntelliCode in the previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
IntelliCode can also come into the PR experience here. You will see a little new icon because IntelliCode has actually reviewed this PR and it can mark what files are interesting or what have had a lot of changes or get a lot of traffic
cool.
as saying, hey, this is an important file you might want to pay more attention to as you're reviewing it.
And that's actually based on AI. It's machine learning models that we've looked at a whole bunch of different PRs to understand kind of like what represents risky types of changes. And so based on that model, that's how it selects that indication as to which files you should focus on.
Yeah, so this file, I can see in the UBDEF, had a lot of frequent changes, but I can kind of tell, okay, this was actually just a lot of code cleanup and refactoring, as Amanda mentioned before. Though I'm not too worried about this file since I know it's just code cleanup. So now I can look in the pull request comments, and IntelliCode also has a suggestion right here. So let me go ahead and change to inline mode so we can see this a little bit better. So IntelliCode left a suggestion right here. Here I'm using an IEnumerable. Well, I'm creating an IEnumerable of a subset of a review list, only looking at recent reviews here. Mm-hmm. And then when I go into the for loop, I don't actually use that sublist. I'm still using a larger set. So IntelliCode was able to see that pattern right away and say, hey, that's kind of inefficient to iterate through, right?
Wow.
And it is even suggesting what I need to rename it to.
Cool.
And I only have to click a button to apply that fix. And it renamed it from reviews to my recent reviews, which would be a smaller, the subset of that list.
So that's also something that we've been working on with MSR. Mm-hmm. Basically, they've come up with brand new machine learning science, you know, new graph theory, to identify different types of bugs that basically cannot be found with static analysis.
Right.
So this is kind of opens a whole new door of types of issues that your IDE could find for you.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and as soon as the fix was applied, the state changed to resolved, which was pretty sweet. So I know that there were some tests that were changed with this PR, so I want to go ahead and dive in to look at those. And I can see in this PR context, live unit testing is still running. So I'm still getting my live unit testing glyphs, even in the viewer. So I know that it looks like Amanda had updated this test to reflect the new results. So see, we're kind of adding in a float here and everything. Mm-hmm. So I can actually set a breakpoint in this PR that I'm reviewing and start debugging this test.
Holy cow.
It's kind of our big wow moment.
Wow.
Maybe I should have set it up more, but yeah. So I can hit that and actually step through my diff viewer.
That's cool.
Pretty insane. Okay. So it's a great experience. You've got debugging, you've got IntelliSense, you've got live unit testing glyphs, you have dot completion all inside of a PR experience. And we even have IntelliCode also doing the smart suggestions and the most likely code completion patterns we want
in this area.
Yeah, pretty sweet.
So the thing, what we're really trying to do here is to make sure that Kendra, as the reviewer, can be as productive as she can possibly be in that code reviewing process, because code reviewing takes a lot of time, and oftentimes it really takes a lot of time, particularly for senior developers, because they often get the bulk of the reviews that they have to do, right? Mm-hmm. But when they do a review, oftentimes the only thing that they're able to do is like a cursory glance at what's going on and like, hey, LGTM, right? It looks good to me. But with this, because you can actually run tests, you can use code navigation, you can actually debug and maybe even change some things, you can actually see what's going on in that PR and be
much more
confident.
You're actually conducting a real live code review. That's
and
very
from
not
browser
only that, but because of IntelliCode, you know, first of all, you have even more confidence that some bugs are being found, but you also are able to focus your code review more on the files and the changes that are more likely to cause issues.
Right.
So that we hope is going to make people a lot more productive in their code reviews.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So that's really all we got for you today around team productivity. I think next time I wanted to show you how Visual Studio lets you do any app and any
Absolutely. I'm always up for a part three.
All right. Cool.
Sweet.
Cool. Very, very cool stuff. Thanks, guys, so much.
Thanks.
Hope you enjoyed that. And we will see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.